Welcome to the French Chef. I'm Julia Child.
When Beatlemania first took hold in 1963, I think nearly every single person on the planet, young and old, could see that we were witnessing a seismic shift in popular culture. But that same year, a much quieter revolution was underway in the tiny Studio A at WGBH's home on Western Avenue in Alston. That is where Julia Child first stepped in front of a camera and cooked for America. Her show, The French Chef, would change the way Americans consumed food, not just on television, but also at restaurants and at their own dinner tables. It's hard to imagine today, but entire networks are dedicated to cooking and chefs now as TV personalities. But before Julia, nobody had done it quite like that. This week, Julia Child would have been 100 years old. And to honor the occasion, we thought we'd celebrate her life with a few of the people who knew her and worked with her. Russ Morish is with me on the phone. He was the director of the show that made Julia a household name. And with me here in the studio is Chef Jackie Robert, chef owner of Petit Robert Bistro. He was a 20-something up-and-comer on the food scene when he first met Julia in the 1970s. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Oh, let me start with you, Chef Robert. So you met her in 1973.
Yes. Exactly.
Tell that story, if you would.
Well, I just arrived from France. I came to open Maison Robert with my uncle. And one night, my uncle came to the kitchen and he said, Julia Child is here. And I said, who is Julia Child? And he said, well, she's a TV personality and I think you should meet her. And that's how I went to the dining room and I met Julia. And luckily, she could speak French because I could not speak any English at the time.
Oh, my goodness. So what was your first impression of her?
She was just a delight. I fell in love for her. She was just what struck me the most. She never talked about herself. She asked me, you know, where do you come from? All kind of personal questions, but never at one time. After I met her for a few years, she was still the same.
Mm. So, Russ Morish, you're the guy that made Julia Child the French Chef in all caps. How does that feel?
Guilty.
Yes.
Guilty, Your Honor.
You two kind of started out together, as it were, because you were a young producer at WGBH when you were assigned to work with her.
Right. Can I just back up a little bit and correct a couple of assumptions that were in the header here?
Okay.
She never set foot in Studio A on those first early days in 1962-63. Because we'd managed to burn the studio down, history will recall, and GBH was building its new building, the then new building on Western Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
So that forced us to the street, and the street, in this case, the pilot programs were done at a gas company auditorium in downtown Boston. And after the pilots were completed, we then moved to a temporary studio in what is still standing over there, next to the Charles River, the Cambridge Gas and Electric Company,
wow.
An old wooden warehouse, brick and wooden warehouse that they had. That's where the first series was taped and the second series was taped.
So
it wasn't until much later, two or three years later, that she actually moved to the studios at WGBH.
I asked Chef Robert his first impression of Julia Child. What was yours?
Well, I remember listening to her on the a phone call came in. This was her introduction to WGBH and a program called I've Been Reading. And I took the call, although I wasn't producing the television show. And she sounded like no other person, of course. I've described her as sort of maybe a little Tallulah Bankhead filtered through several cartons of Marlboro cigarettes, and a very definite theatrical, dramatic kind of a voice that she had, or shrill. It was quite an unusual voice.
Now it's your job as a producer to know what's going to work on television, even in those early days. What about her did you think was going to work?
You give me much too much credit. I was all of about 20, I don't know, 25, 26 years old. Everything in context here, you know, there were nobody really went to restaurants. Restaurants were something that very fancy people did. Certainly the Morash household did not go to restaurants. And so I was unaccustomed to French food. All my French courses I failed miserably at, so I couldn't speak French. Well, I could do a little restaurant French, maybe, but I couldn't speak French. And so here was this amazing character who'd written the book for Americans to learn how to cook French food. So I was way over my head, I would say, at that point. And to ask me, what did I think, or did I know we had a star, or any of that, is I could lie and tell you, oh, yeah, we had it all figured out. But you know what? We didn't. We didn't know what we had.
So when did you know you had a star and this was someone who really resonated across the screen?
Context is everything. I seem to remember that no executives were able to see the pilot. I think they eventually started to watch the program on air. There was none of this tape delay, tape editing, or watching it in one's office the way executives can today. So we were all sort of getting it by word of mouth from those who were listening to those early Julia programs. And the word of mouth was very good. She was a character. She was funny. She actually used wine in cooking. She was tall, but she was friendly, and she cracked a lot of jokes that people laughed at. And we said, "Geez, maybe this is somebody we should spend more time with." At that time at WGBH, our program schedule was filled with very serious programming. You know, we were saving the world. A mission that goes unfilled, but we were still saving the world in those days, and we had Harvard professors in tweed jackets sitting around tables, a lot of that. We had symphony orchestras. We had scientific programs that we did, but nothing light. There was some kid stuff, but nothing light. And now and no audience, of course. Nobody was watching.
Right, right.
So
and then you had Julia, and that there you go, and the rest, as they say, is history.
People started writing and talking.
Yes. So let me go back to another 20-something-year-old, and that's Chef Jackie Robert, who is the chef owner of Petit Robert Bistro, who interacted with Julia through a lot of your life. You wrote like a journal that we've read and will be up on our Facebook page for people to look at, talking about some of your interactions with her over the years. After you, that first meeting when you met her, and now you know who she is, and then later on, you're interacting with her and learning about her and how what she liked in food. Talk about that, because you brought with you here some fabulous food, and we should mention that Petit Robert Bistro is going to be featuring special Julia Child menus, Julia Child-related menus this week. So some of the food that you brought here, I'm sure you and Julia Child probably enjoyed together.
Yeah, I thought we could not talk about Julia without bringing wine and food.
That's right.
Because you talk about the food, but you also have wine.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, too.
And yeah. And Julia loved food. She one of her favorite dishes at Maison Robert was the Dover sole.
She good.
Loved the rack of lamb. She loved butter. Butter was just her first ingredient. She felt like there was no cooking without butter. And a few times during that, when I cooked for her, she always wanted to know how were things prepared. And I remember once serving an apple tart, and she called me in the dining room. She was with Jacques Pepin. And she said, "Jackie, how does it taste so good?" And I said, "But Julia, it's the butter." And she said, "But of course."
She loved butter.
Yeah.
I have a comment from Karen on Facebook. She wrote in to say, "I asked Mrs. Child about margarine once as a butter alternative, and she shuddered. Oh, horrid stuff. I won't have it in my house." And she continued to say, "It's always about moderation. You can live a long and healthy life and enjoy good food if you do it in moderation." Amen and thank you. That's what Karen says on Facebook about Julia Child.
And that's why she lived to be over 90 years old, because of the butter, probably.
You're very modest about saying, oh, she ate my tart and said it's so good. She was pretty enthusiastic about how good it was. She said it's very delicious.
Yeah, she she was, but like I remember once cooking something more creative. It was a rabbit with a cod brandade, which you are actually are going to have today. Uh-huh. And it, myself, I felt the mix was pretty nice. And but she said when she called me, I said she said, "Oh, Jackie, it's a silly dish."
And why did you think it was silly?
I have no idea why she said that, but I don't think it was a compliment.
Well, okay, all right. But she pretty much still frequented all the restaurants you were at. You moved around to Florida and California and mentioned that she visited you when in one of those restaurants.
She visited me in San Francisco, where I had a restaurant named Amelio's. And she came with Pierre Freinet, who was writing for the New York Times. And she had a very nice dinner. We opened a bottle of Petrus 1945. You know, when Julia Child was in your restaurant, you would forget about all the other guests. You know?
Now, Chef Jackie Robert, chef owner of Petit Robert Bistro, you are a French chef. She was not, even though her show was called The French Chef. And I know Russ can talk about some of the criticism early on. Now, it wasn't much, but it was some, saying she's not French and she's not a chef. So what's she talking about? But you didn't resent that at all about her.
No, not at all. And all the French chefs I know, and I know a lot of them, all the very famous ones, they all love Julia. Julia earned the respect of all the French chefs around the world.
That's wonderful. And what do you think was about her and the way that she appreciated food that allowed for that respect? Because chefs are a tough bunch, yeah. I think you know.
Well, I think her modesty, you know, and she was friendly. She never pretended to be anybody, you know. She just was one of us, and she loved cooking like the way all the French chefs do. And she loved what she was doing. She loved to eat. Exactly the person we like.
Our guests are Jackie Robert, you just listened to him, chef owner of Petit Robert Bistro, and Rush Morass, who was the director of The French Chef, which was Julia Child's sort of rocket to fame. If you want to share a memory with us, give us a call at 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. We're celebrating the 100th year anniversary, birthday of Julia Child, and celebrating with both Chef Robert and Rush Morass with memories and thoughts about Julia Child's favorites. Now, on your menu that you've put together, are some of the foods on this menu some that you know that Julia Child would love, Chef Robert?
Yes. So I met Julia Child in 1973, and until pretty much like a year before she died, I was able to cook for her. But even so, she liked to try new dishes. I think she always wanted to have her first love. That was classical French cuisine.
Mm. Russ Morash, at a time now, and I can't tell you how many chef shows I watch them all, you know. So there's trillions of them, and Food Networks and the Cooking Channel and all of that. I mean, nobody could have envisioned that at the time. When she began, there was none of that. We've talked about how warm she was, how she related to people, how even the toughest chefs, the French ones, were not hostile toward her and the way that she put food out there. Could you have imagined that her longevity would be what it is today? Could you have imagined that when you started?
No. She was honored in an extraordinary way in 1965, two or three years after she first appeared, by becoming a cover girl for Time magazine. Now, you wouldn't know it today, but Time magazine in those days was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And being on the cover was an even bigger deal. And so she had definitely become a national personality at that point. And everything else followed and flowed from there. But so I'd say somewhere in there, we sort of the light went on, and we said, "Boy, this is really something. Julia's finally coming into her own," and all of us were thrilled by that.
as a non-chef and as her producer, what do you think her legacy is, her legacy, her impact on American cooking and appreciation of food?
Oh, I think without Julia, you would not have had the rise in interest in food over the last, really, 25 years. When she came onto the stage, as I've said, the restaurants were something pretty exclusive. Today, people treat them as entertainment. Mm-hmm. People are much more critical, and they should be, because a lot of the food out there needs criticism. And Julia was great at it. One of her great.
We lost Rush Morash, who's director of Julia Child's program, The French Chef, the one that launched her career. We'll call him back. Let me go over to my other guest, chef owner Jackie Robert, who is the owner of Petit Robert Bistro. What do you think her legacy is? Because you are a chef, so her legacy in food is what?
I think one of the biggest legacies to have motivated so many women to cook. When I came in 1973, I was one of the first one to hire a woman in a kitchen.
By the way, not just any woman, Lydia Shire, yeah. Thank you very much. Let's just put that out there.
It was Lydia Shire, and yeah. it was a great start, and that's probably why I continued hiring women in a kitchen all the years after. But I think Julia a few times came to the restaurant. And I remember having other women, like in 1996, and all the women wanted to meet Julia. Julia was a role model. She really impressed and motivated young women. And she came in the kitchen, and she spent a lot of time with this young girl who was starting cooking with me. And that was Julia. She didn't really care if she had something else to do, if other people were waiting for her. She just was talking, and she talked maybe for half an hour with that woman in the kitchen. That was fantastic, you know. And I think that's a real legacy, is to have she brought women to cook and to cook in restaurants and at a high level, because today, you know, we have very very famous, very very good women chef. You know?
No kidding. And Lydia Shire, as we know, owns two restaurants now. Yeah. And at one point, she hired you. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so that was pretty interesting. Yeah. Julia Child was asked to describe her ideal last meal in an interview, which was in a Noel Riley Fitch's 1997 biography, Appetite for Life, the biography of Julia Child. And this is some of the things that she mentioned: caviar, Russian vodka sauce, oysters with pui fuisi. I can't even pronounce the wine. I'm mispronouncing it right now. Wine, foie gras, pan roasted duck, onions, chanterelle mushrooms, palms Anna, and French bread. And red Burgundy or red Bordeaux, it would be, you know, a wine that she might enjoy. But French bread with Roquefort and Brie, you've got, you know, some of that over here for me. And you certainly have her favorite tarte tatin that you made that she thought was delicious.
And you also have some bœuf bourguignon and some ratatouille, some pâtés. You know, it's all kind of things Julia loved to eat.
Did you see the movie Julia and Julia?
Oh, absolutely.
And what did you think about it?
Well, actually, Meryl Streep was at Petit Robert Bistro.
Ah.
And last Saturday, we had a tribute to Julia Child in that same room when Meryl Streep had the dinner.
Oh, wow.
So I told the people, and people were thrilled to know that.
And what do people say when they come to your restaurant, particularly around now, to celebrate her birthday? What are they telling you about, you know, what Julia meant to them?
Ah, it's just fantastic. I mean, you would see President Obama in a restaurant; it would not make a bigger impact. She just received all around the country, just like the greatest of the personalities, you know.
Oh, let me read this Facebook comment that we got from Roberta Coffey. She said, "Thinking back on the interview I had with Julia Child at her home in Cambridge, she graciously served lunch in her gazebo, just the two of us. When I tried to cut my chicken, I struck a rock-solid leg. She glanced at me, laughed, and said, 'Oh, that's right. Last night I had guests in for dinner. We had a long cocktail hour, and I forgot to turn the oven on.' I, I ate the side dishes. Russ Morash, does that sound like the Julia you know?
Well, I don't know if she'd make those kind of mistakes, but I do remember the outside dining in her little gazebo. It was quite jolly. She called it a folly. And it was specially designed for, to keep the Cambridge mosquitoes away from her, she and Paul. But it was a great place to have lunch when you were invited over. Although she was an interesting character. You know, she never served hors d'oeuvres. She hated them.
Mm.
And her favorite hors d'oeuvres was that dreadful goldfish thing, you know, in a box that somebody...
I love it. You know, I love that.
Got a good hors d'oeuvre out of her. But just stick around because the courses thereafter were great.
So what's your favorite memory, Russ, of Julia?
There's so many. To pick one is to leave a lot of discards on the pile. But the last film I made with her was called Taste of Norway. And we reviewed her history in Norway and took her over there. And she was wonderful and just a good sport. And we couldn't keep her down. And this one day we traveled by helicopter up over... Well, we started, I think, shooting a scene in a distillery where they were making that dreadful aquavit liqueur.
Mm-hmm.
And then we moved on from there to other parts of Norway. And by helicopter now, we had flown all over the place, up over mountains and down the other side. And it never gets dark in Norway in the summertime. So we landed, it was bright enough to see our way, definitely. Went to the hotel, and Marion, my wife, was with me, and we crashed on the bed. I mean, it was 11 o'clock, and we'd just been going since sunup, and so hadn't Julia. I don't know how she made it. We crashed on the bed, and the phone rang. It was Julia, and she said, "Where are we going to dinner?" I suppose that was one of my favorite
movies. That's pretty good.
We rolled over.
You didn't go. Okay.
Didn't go that night.
Chef Robert, do you have a favorite Julia memory?
Well, the time where Julia started her series was when René Verdon, one of my friends, was at the White House with President Kennedy, was the chef at the White House. And Julia and Mr. Verdon were just great friends. And I met... Julia, I saw Julia a few times at Mr. Verdon's place because he had then a restaurant in San Francisco called Le Trianon. And one time we were having a dinner there at Mr. Verdon's restaurant, and Mr. Verdon had made some papillote, which is like a big bag. Filled with fish,
delicious fish.
It's and she joked like it was a balloon, and she was quite impressed by the size of the balloon she had in front of her.
Oh, that is so great! Once saw her in the hair salon in Cambridge and was quite thrilled. So I you know, can't imagine knowing her more than as well as you two men have known her, because she just seemed warm even in that exchange with the hairstylist. I mean, it was just, that's just who she was. I note that you called her warm, real warm and generous, Chef Robert. That's who she was.
Absolutely. And I never remember Julia having had any temper or any. She was always speaking positive of everybody, and she was just a fantastic person to have around you. You know.
Do you think there'll ever be another like her?
I don't think so. It's just we miss her a lot, all of us. Yeah.
Russ, same question to you. Can you imagine another Julia Child?
No. She's an American original, and there will not be another appearance on stage of someone with her grace and her incredible knowledge and her kindness and her generosity and her effect on her fellow human being.
We're replaying some of your programs, WGBH is.
Well, it's about time.
Well, so there's opportunities to see your work back in the day when she started. And is there a favorite episode you'd like people to particularly pay attention to?
Well, I think we've seen some of those back. And while we wince at the technology of the day, you know, this is a these black and white cameras were so poor that if you had one in your the lobby of your apartment house as a surveillance TV, you would reject it. I mean, they were awful.
But and nonetheless, it worked.
Well, so, despite that, her light shone through. So
all right, so you have no favorite.
No.
All right. Okay. So we can look forward to, therefore, Chef Jackie Robert, the special menus that you have going coming up. And they are on our website. The menu will be on our website so people can see. I thank both of you, Russ Morash, director of the French Chef, Julia Child's Launching Pad, and Chef Jackie Robert, chef owner of Petit Robert Bistros. Thank you so much.
You bet.
The special Julia Child menus are available at Chef Jackie's Petit Robert Bistro in Kenmore, Columbus, and Needham through this Wednesday. You can get more details about it on our website, wgbhnews.org. I'm so happy to have celebrated the inimitable Julia Child. Thanks so much for joining us for another edition of Boston Public Radio. Conversation continues 24 hours a day on our Facebook page. We'll be back tomorrow with a look at innovations in food and another tribute to Julia Child. I'm Callie Crossley. Our show is a production of WGBH.